Great. Well, good morning, everyone. Those who are here and those who are watching online today or at another time, Lord is going to bless us, I'm sure. Stronger. Better together. Well done. That's great. That's what we were looking at as a long-term theme: stronger, better together. And you'll know that I've been doing a series on the principles of the kingdom. And I used to say what they all were, but we get to the sixth one now, so it's too long to say them. So you have to look back. So the sixth principle of the kingdom this morning. And those who were around last week will already know the subject. The subject is, or the next principle is, obedience is better than sacrifice. The actual word comes from 1 Samuel 15, and the exact words there are, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Some of you, or most of you know, I don't like using these, so if it goes awry, please wave if you can't hear or anything like that, or it's too loud or whatever. Okay, I'll do my best. Well, now, I've got a certain reputation, I've been told, that sometimes I act as bad cop. And I want to let you know this morning, I'm not going to be bad cop this morning. Do you know there are two words in Scripture? One is condemnation and the other is conviction. Condemnation always comes from the enemy. Because the Scripture says in Hebrews 13 verse 1, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you feel condemned at any time, including when I'm speaking, you know it's from the enemy. It's from the devil, the one who's trying to tell you lies and is trying to pull you down. The other word is conviction. And conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says that he will convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. So condemnation comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, and neither of them come from me. It's not my job to condemn or to convict. And in fact, this morning, even despite the title, I want to encourage you. Now, I've also been told by Pastor Robin that I never smile when I preach. Okay? So I'm going to encourage you. Okay, and anyone who wants to take a picture now is fine. I may not do it again, so make the most of it. Right. Most of you will also know that last month I went to Israel with Pastor Robin and others. And I'd been three times before. That was a privilege. So there wasn't much there that I wasn't expecting in terms of what I saw. But I went to say, Lord, speak to me as we go. Let me see and hear something new. And that happened. And it is something I'd known for a long time before. But the Lord spoke to me in a different way. And I want to share that with you this morning. The word Christian and Christians is a word that was coined by the pagans. The people who we call Christians were first called Christians in Antioch, and they were called Christians by the pagans as a sort of a slur word. Okay? Prior to that, the Christians were called the people of the way. And you'll find that that's mentioned only in Acts. I think only in Acts. The first time it was mentioned was when Saul of Tarsus went to the authorities in Jerusalem and asked for authority to go to Damascus to persecute the people of the way. did you know that you were the people of the way? Jesus said, I am the way. Now, it's an interesting thing, the way, because if I say, please tell me the way, it's to do with a direction. But if I say to you, please tell me the way to do this, it's an instruction on how to achieve something. And both of those are true. I wonder which way you've thought of when it says, Jesus said, I am the way. What do you think that means? Jesus said that very closely to the end of his ministry. I am the way. Do you remember it came when he told them he was going to die and he was going to go away? And where I am, you can be as well. And they said, well, how do we know the way? And he said, I am the way. Now, is that a direction or is it telling you what to do? And the answer is probably both. But when Jesus started his ministry, the very first big discourse was the Sermon on the Mount. And the amazing thing about that was he was speaking to the Jews who already knew the law. They already knew what we would call the Old Testament. And yet what he did was he came to them to say, this is the way that this works. You know the law, but you can't make it work for you. In fact, it just brings death. But I want to tell you, said Jesus, how you make the law work for you, the way to do it, and the way to bring life through it. And so he starts like God started right at the beginning. The very first thing that God said to Adam and Eve was, I want to bless you. And so Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount by saying, this is how to be blessed by God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are, if you want to be blessed by God, this is the way to do it. He went on to say, you know the Ten Commandments. This is the way the Ten Commandments are to be interpreted. You have heard it said, this, this, and this, but I say to you, no, this is the way. And if you look at your Bible, if your Bible's got headings, and you go through those headings just in the Sermon on the Mount, but there are many, many other examples. It says, this is the way to love people. This is the way to give. This is the way to pray. How do we pray? When you come together, this is the way to do it. You say, Our Father, who art in heaven, this is the way to do it. If you want to know how to fast, the people knew about fasting. There's a whole chapter in the Isaiah about fasting. If you want to know how to fast, this is the way to fast, Jesus says. You want to know about peace? Are you anxious this morning? This is the way to deal with your anxiety. This is the way of peace. This is the way to the kingdom. You want to know what the kingdom of God is about? I've come to declare the kingdom, said Jesus. If you want to enter into this kingdom, this is the way to do it. You've had many, many rules. Many rules. You live by rules. But they all brought death. And I want to show you how to bring life in your life. Now, it's an amazing thing that if you look at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave a story. He ended by saying, let me tell you a story. There was a man. He built a house. And he built it on the rock. And when the winds came and the floods came, his house didn't move. There was another man who built a house, but he built his house on the sand. And when the winds came and the rains came, the house was swept away. And he said this about the story. The people that listen to what I have said about how to do it and the way you should do it, who don't only listen but go and do it, they're like the man who built his house on the rock. But the people who listen and hear all the things that I have to say and do not follow the way I tell you to do it, they're like the man who built his house on the sand. The one way takes you to life, and the other way takes you to ruin and death. Obedience, the word obedience, is actually the word to, the best word we've got in English is hark or hearken, which has that meaning of not only listen, but to do it. It means to take it in and own it for yourself. Listen and act. Now, for the people that were listening, this wasn't new. This wasn't new. They'd heard it all before. They'd heard Moses, they'd read of Moses actually saying it many, many times to the children of Israel. Many, many times he comes and says, now, I want you to obey all the things that the Lord has told you to do. And if you do, there will be life. I want you to obey all the words of the law. Listen to what God says to you. All his statutes and ordinances. Be careful to follow them. Blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God. Read Deuteronomy, the first parts of Deuteronomy, and see how many times Moses says it. Go God's way. Do it his way. And you'll be blessed. Don't do it his way, and it will come to ruin. The unfortunate thing is, when we talk about obedience, we think about negative things primarily. But the law contained things like what to eat and not eat. The law contained things about how to deal with your dry rot in your house. It talked about how to look after your animals and so on. They were not things which were naughty, wrong things. They were things which were God was wanting to bless the people. If you don't deal with your dry rot the way I tell you will, your house will fall down. If you eat those things that you can find in the desert, you'll get ill. Do it my way, and you'll be blessed and blessed and blessed from generation to generation. But if you don't, you're in trouble. Not because God will punish you, but because that's the way life works. And what was the response of the people on the mountain? They said, "Wow, we haven't heard anything like this before. Wow, this is like the scribes teach us, which was just, let's just read the rules, let's make sure we know the rules, keep the rules, keep the rules. Dead, 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 dead." No, no. This man speaks with authority. This man actually tells us how it works. It said that they were astonished by what he said, even though in many ways they knew all the rules and they heard it before. So Jesus said to them, "Do not do it this way, but do it this way." We need to understand, and I'm hoping that we will understand and the Lord will speak to us this morning, that this is primarily not about negative things at all. It's not about don't do this, don't do that. It's about saying, "Yes, Lord, I will do it like you want me to do it. I will do it the way you've said is the best way to do it." Not sort of reluctantly, not, "Oh, well, I suppose I've got to." There was a family who went to church. They had a teenage son, a young teenage son. And the pastor said, "Okay, everybody stand." And everybody stood except this lad. So his dad looked down and he said, "Stand up." No movement. So his dad said, "I said, stand up." "I don't want to." "I said, stand up." So very reluctantly, the lad just stands up. You know the usual body language, don't you? And he looked at his dad and he said, "I'm standing up, but I'm sitting down on the inside." Smile. You know, there's a sense in which a lot of our Christian life is a bit like that. "Well, I suppose I've got to do it. I suppose there's a rule here." But, you know, God just wants to bless you. He loves you so much. He wants the best for you. And all the things that you might think are rules and regulations are just trying to do the best for you. How many times, if you're a parent, how many times have you said to your kids, "I'm doing this because I just want the best for you"? "Why do I do it?" "Because of love." How many times did I say to my children, "Do you know, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be bothered. It's because I love you, I'm doing it. It's because I love you, I'm putting in some boundaries. It's because I'm love you, I'm trying to teach you the best way." Why do we think God is different? Why do we think that he's trying to restrict us? I just want to give you three scriptures here because I think that they begin to explain what some of the scriptures say to us. Luke 18 verse 17 says, they're all things that you know well. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Do you know, a little child, you say, hey, that's the way to do it, and they just do it. The reason is they don't know any better. They want to do it like you do it. James 4 verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Not to not do things that are bad, but if you know how to do it the good way and don't do it, you could be in trouble. It says for that person that it's sinful. It gets worse. Luke 12 and verse 48. To him who is given much, what? Much is expected. You see, if I know what all the rules are, I'm expected to keep them. If I don't know what the rules are, then there's a whole huge measure of grace. But if God says, you know, this is the way to do it, this is the way I want you to do it, then for me not to do it, I'm in trouble. Father, he's asking us to listen to all he's saying in these days. The things that he's saying about obedience, we heard it last week again. And saying it's time to act on these things, not just to know them, not just to think about them, not to talk about them, to do it. There's also, this is another principle, I won't, of the kingdom, I won't have another day doing this. I'll just throw this one in as a minor one. Doing it is doing it. Not talking about it, not praying about it, doing it is doing it. And Father's saying, if you know what to do, will you do it my way? Let me give you another three scriptures. These are practical things. They're all to do with relationships. And this is a slight more of a challenge. Matthew 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount says, if you come to worship and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, first go and put it right and then come to worship. That's the way Jesus says to do it. What about Matthew 18? If your brother or sister sins against you, go to them in private and see if you can put it right. That's the way Jesus says is my way to do it. You don't go to the house group leader. You don't talk to your neighbour. You don't go to the pastor and ask him to deal with it. No, the way Jesus says to do it is you go, if you know your brother or sister has something against you, you go and try to put it right in private to start with. These are things, I guess, that are not easy for us to do. It's not easy to do it Jesus' way sometimes. We've just taken communion. And not every time, but sometimes we say the words, don't we, from 1 Corinthians 11. But don't come to communion, or if you come to communion, search your heart first to see if there's anything unworthy there in terms of the body. Do that first. That's the way Jesus says to do it. And I find this, it's strange, isn't it? Almost casually, Paul says, some of you didn't do it Jesus' way, and some of you have died because of it. Really? Some have died because of this, because they didn't do it Jesus' way. Well, to obey, to heed the word of the Lord, is better than sacrifice. I'm going to just spend just a few, very few minutes just talking about King Saul, because that's, it's a story from his life that this actual word comes from. And we can find out what we can learn from it. I'll quickly go through it. You can read it all there in 1 Samuel. Saul came from a very prominent family. A very prominent family. And that, and all that I'm going to tell you is specifically what the Bible says about him. It says that the family was impressive and that he was the most impressive young man in the land. Can you believe that? He was the number one guy in the land. He didn't know it. He didn't feel it. His family was a relatively small one. He came from Benjamin. He said all these things. Oh, I come from the smallest family in the smallest tribe and small, you know. So as yet, the scripture says that he was the most impressive person. And Samuel, we know, took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. And he said, "The Lord has anointed you ruler over his inheritance. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in a very powerful way, and you will prophesy." And we know that it said that when Samuel turned to leave, God changed Saul's heart. And the Spirit fell powerfully upon him. And when he met the other prophets, he prophesied with them. When Samuel met him, people later on, he said, "Do you see the one the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among the entire population." And all the people shouted, "God save the king!" Or "Long live the king," actually. The Spirit came on him suddenly again, very powerfully, and he went out to war, and he won the battle. It said in summary of his life in chapter 14 that he fought against all his enemies in every direction, against Moab, the Ammonites, Edomites, the king of Zobah, the Philistines. Wherever he turned, it says, he caused havoc. He fought bravely. He defeated the Amalekites and rescued Israel from all those who plundered them. He was a Pentecostal. The Spirit was on him. He prophesied. He went out, and he went out in the Lord's strength and won battles. So why did it all go horribly wrong? Why was the kingdom taken away from this man? He made two enormous mistakes. The first was that he went and won a battle, and Samuel had said to him, "And then wait, and 7 days I'll come and be with you, and we'll celebrate and we'll rejoice and bless the Lord together." And Saul, Samuel was, he did turn up on the seventh day, but he turned up by the sound of it very late. Okay, so Saul began to get a bit worried about all this. He didn't know what to do. His men were sort of saying, "Oh, well, we don't know what's going to go on." Well, some of them had wandered off and so on. And so in order to rally the troops, he said, I know what we'll do. We'll build an altar and we'll have the sacrifice ourselves." So he builds the altar and he sacrificed the animals to God. But he was the king and he wasn't the priest. And God had said, only the priests are allowed to do the sacrifices. And Samuel turns up just as the flames are going up and the sacrifice is burning. He says, What on earth have you done, Samuel? Saul, what have you done? Why didn't you do it God's way? I told you I was coming. Why didn't you wait? And we could have all celebrated together. And we could have all been blessed together under God's provision. But, oh, well, I was only sacrificing to God. I was doing what God has said he likes to have done. The second one was when he was told to go out and fight against the Amalekites. And God said that the Amalekites are a people that have stood against you, and I want you to go and wipe them all out, Saul. So Saul went with the army, and he defeated the Amalekites. But who knows why, for reasons best known to Saul, and because he had a certain weakness in his character, his men put upon him as well. And what he did was he killed all the people, but he saved the king. So King Agag was saved. And the guys said, you've got to remember, these were soldiers who regularly took plunder from where they went, okay? That's how they often lived, okay? They got some nice sheep and goats and one thing and another. So they looked, it says they looked at all these sheep and goats and cattle and thought, well, we don't want to put all those to death. No, we'll take the best for ourselves. So they took the choice ones plus the king back to the camp. And they're all there, according to what the word of the Lord says. They're all going baa and moo and everything like that, okay? Because Samuel turns up and Saul, big hail, hearty farewell, goes out to meet. Hello, Samuel, how are you doing? I've done everything the Lord, I've done everything that God said to do. And Samuel says, well, if you did everything God said to do, what's this mooing and baaing I can hear? Where's that coming from? He said, the men wanted to keep the best things, but we were going to sacrifice them to God. And Samuel says to him, don't you understand, Saul? Is God more pleased with your sacrifices than with you just obeying him? Obedience is better than sacrificing. To listen to what God is saying and do it is better than all the fat of the rams being sacrificed. Oh, well, I was just doing it for God. No, Saul, no. You were doing it your way. Do you remember Pastor Robin saying that last week? You were doing it your way. But God wants it done his way. Do you know, brothers and sisters, I confess that so often I do it my way. Even the things that God asks me to do, it's so easy to do it my way. It's so easy to do it with a wrong attitude. It's so easy to do it with people need to know and be told. But the Lord has said to lift up people with compassion. That's his way. And I don't get it right so often. I'm not going to steal probably somebody's thunder for a few weeks' time, but just tell you what you already know. That Saul was rejected because his relationship in his with God, such as it was, and it was very tentative, was in his head. And God said, I'm going to replace you with somebody who has a relationship with me in their heart. That's right. It was an amazing thing. It was like a prophetic thing. It said that Saul, it's mind-boggling actually, but it says that Saul was head and shoulders taller than anybody else in the whole of Israel. Can you imagine if there was somebody that tall our congregation this morning, that the tallest person here, apart from that, only came up to their shoulder? He was an enormous guy to be that, but that actually was prophetic of who he was. He was a head man. He was impressive, but he was impressive in stature. And in his head, he wasn't impressive in his heart. And God is looking for people that will follow him, not because of the rules and because I say, oh, well, I must, but because I want to. Jesus, I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way. And Jesus said to the people, if you love me, do it my way. If you love me, do it my way. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Lord, that all these things are written for our benefit. And, Lord, revelation comes like the acorn grows, Lord, day by day. We don't get it all at once. You teach us things even into our old age. We want to thank you, Lord, for your gracious dealing with us. But this morning, Lord, we want to hear what you have to say to us, and we want to be people of the way. We want to be people, Lord, we're desperate to be people who say we want to do it the Jesus way. That we would be known as people who do it Jesus' way, the people of the way. So let your spirit fall upon us, I pray, Father. Be gracious to us. Lift us up and encourage us again, Lord, that you want to give us good success. That you want us to be great, Lord. You want us to be able to take your name out into the highways and byways, into these desperate places, Lord, that we live in, to people who are desperate for something in their lives, Lord, something to bring life. So bless us, Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.